Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's Friday Morning GM with co-host Vas Larico. So, Vas, back from vigorous work at the restaurant for another episode. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Life is good. Business is booming. And excited that schedule release feels like the season's right around the corner. Not quite right around the corner, but we can see it at least in the distance.
Yeah, the Ravens got some good news this week, some bad news this week. I think the schedule news is some additional good news, but let's start, as always, with the bad news. This is customary. Ardarius Washington lost for the season due to an Achilles injury that happened during a workout at the facility or training at the facility, conditioning at the facility. Not sure. There's a key element there is that even if the Ravens wanted somehow to rescind his tender for what happened and make it a non-football injury, they can't do it based on where it occurred. Now, they wouldn't want to do that anyway to a player like Washington, who's just, you know, having his first opportunity to get a bite at the apple and whatnot. But anyway, they have lost him for the season. They were already, from my perspective, kind of at a minus one position at in terms of having a deep safety who could play, and they're now at minus two. Does that match with your thoughts on the matter, Buzz?
Completely agree with that, Ken. First of all, definitely don't want to try to weasel out of the RFA tender. That just sets a bad precedent that they don't want to have. It would impact free agent signings in the future, I would imagine. Sure. Completely agree with you as far as safety was a need after the draft. I think we discussed that in our post-draft show, and certainly it's now more of a need. Fortunately, fortuitously, the Ravens were able to select the safety in the first round that does have some pretty good range on the back end, but they're still thin at that position, and the Washington injury will hypothetically minimize their freedom to deploy Kyle Hamilton at various spots across the formation.
Yeah, it does. It freezes up a couple of players. If they had any thoughts that Malachi Starks was going to be anything but a free safety, and I sure hope they didn't, but if they did, you know, about him moving him around, always this chess piece too, he's the free safety now. There's no doubt about it. There isn't anybody else to take that role. Hamilton, while he maybe could play that role, I expect them to want to have him back in base packages and up in big nickel and perhaps in dime packages as well. So they have, they could have a standard nickel where he's still playing the back end with Humphrey in the slot. But for this all to work out, they need another safety. They need another safety who can play the back end. And where they get that guy is interesting. So let's start with the guys on the roster in Sanusi Kane and Bo Braid, and the possibility that either of them could play the back end.
I do not have very much confidence that they would be able to play the back end. They just, not necessarily their skill sets. They're more of a dime or a strong safety type, both of them, maybe Braid. But asking a second-year former undrafted player to now take on a prominent role on a team that's expecting to contend for a championship is a risk that I would not like to take myself.
So I'm in agreement with you, by the way, that it wouldn't be the first guy that I would want back there. What I think will happen this summer, it's going to be very interesting to watch, is an extended trial for both players on the back end, that they're going to get a lot of snaps trying to learn how, and they may even get some snaps against Lamar Jackson, which I think is one of the keys, is to not play against, you know, really limited quarterbacks back there, to see what those guys can do. I don't want them as the first choice. In fact, you know, we can talk about some guys that might make sense, but I would not mind at all if one of them turned out to be the extra safety that you have in the break in case of need during a game safety. Mm-hmm. And in particular, if one of them were able to take that role, that really justifies their special team spot entirely. So Sanusi Kane, we talked about this, numerous players that the Ravens, I don't think can really, and I think you agree on this one, can't really afford to have players who play just special teams. They need special 100%. Teams and defense, special teams and offense. Kane is already a great special teams player. Braid is a reliable special teams player in what he did. And either of them maybe could be a dime back, which is, that's enough of a role, but it'd be ideal if one of them could play the back end, and then they could, the spots would be justified, I think.
Yeah, they'll get an opportunity. One other potential in-house replacement, hypothetically, could be TJ Tampa transitioning to safety. I think as a zone-based corner with a good size and strength, he could potentially move to safety. But I do think that at this juncture, the Ravens need to go out to the free agent pool and add a player. There's a couple guys I had in mind, but I know you in our pre-show meeting mentioned Chuck Clark, a former Raven, who I'm not excited about that potential signing personally. I think he's a little long in the tooth. Also, not necessarily the rangiest player when he was healthy and younger, and just put up a 50 PFF grade last year. So he wouldn't be my favorite.
So I can understand the hesitation with Clark working. He was working back from an injury that held him out all of 2023. And I'm not going to make excuses for the guy because he didn't play well after he left the Ravens. The reason I really like Chuck Clark as an option is I think he understands the Ravens system. In fact, he's captained it before in terms of the defense, communicated those signals. There's no reason at all at this point in his career that Chuck Clark cannot return to being an ace special teams player as well. And the value of that this year is going to be a little higher with the kickoff return touchback being so punitive at the 35-yard line that they're going to want to have good coverage players. I think Clark could give you that. I think also he's a player who, while maybe not the rangiest guy, and I would, you know, tend to agree that he's lost a little speed, hopefully can make up for it partially with instincts, but is a guy hopefully will not be in the wrong position very often. Sure. And he's played enough on the back end that I think that's likely true. Also very good tackler. As your last line of defense, he's going to prevent some really big plays from happening if he's in that spot. So he wouldn't be necessarily the ideal guy, but he is a guy I think they can have for the vet minimum.
Yes, and I would agree with that. Yeah. You know, for me, you're looking at this team, they're going to have an explosive offense, it seems. So they want to have a very stout, strong pass defense, because if you're putting points on the board, the other team's going to be passing against you. So a couple names that jumped out at me that are currently unsigned, according to PFF's tracker this morning. Justin Simmons leads their list of safeties. He played in Tennessee last year, did not do too well. He did not replicate the, you know, Pro Bowl all-pro form he had in Denver for all those years. So he's not necessarily my top choice either. Two players who I do think could fit the bill, Julian Blackman and Quandre Diggs, who are both players that have experience, starting experience on the back end in two high looks. And two other names to mention would be Von Bell, who was a little bit more of a strong safety, but can play too high for the Bengals. And Jalen Mills, who's a converted corner, who also has starting experience on the back end. So I would be willing to pay up above the vet minimum, probably not to the level that Simmons would require, but $2-4 million, something like that. I could stomach that considering the importance of a sturdy back end for this upcoming year.
I have trouble with what I'm looking at here for Blackmon. So Blackmon's finished 5 years at Indianapolis, been a regular at least, you know, really been a regular for most of those five seasons. I'm really surprised he's not signed yet, but there's also I see what I did wrong. Okay. We're fine. Okay. So he's coming off a pretty darn good year. I'm surprised he's not signed yet.
So it could be soft market for safeties, I've noticed the last couple of years.
Oh, if you could get this, if you get Blackmon on a vet man prove it deal at some point, that'd be fantastic. Maybe here's the reason he gave up almost 11 yards per target last year. That'll do it.
Yep. Sure.
So who else are we talking about? Justin Simmons?
And Quandre Diggs would be the other
Quandre
one.
Diggs. Because Diggs was a guy last year that I thought was in our mix to be a safety brought in. Quandre Diggs is the one who played at Tennessee, right? And Julian Blackmon was in Atlanta, I think. Or I might be wrong.
I thought Diggs started his career in Seattle, but I'm not sure where he played last year.
Diggs played last year in Tennessee. And didn't have a bad year by any stretch. Good tackler, decent coverage player. Let's see how that yards per target looks like. It's okay. It's 7 and change, so that's fine. Passer rating against him is 138, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Has he had a good interception rate in his career? Yes. He's got 24 career picks. He just dropped to nothing last year, and he's 33 in January, which means 32 now. He'll be 32 for the whole season, effectively. All right. I mean, Diggs is still a guy, I think, if you are reducing his role to a half field space, I think he's a guy who would make a lot of sense. I wonder if he'd be something you could get, closer to the minimum. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wouldn't rule out here, Voss, is that as soft as that safety market seems to be, I'd want a 3-year solution to the problem and not a 1-year solution. If you want a 3-year solution, look through the cast off pile and try and find a guy. Now, if you do that, you got to be pretty sure that one of your in-house guys could mature into the role, but there could well be a cast off guy they liked in one of the last two drafts, meaning 23 or 24, not 25, who hasn't got any playing time and is a 1 or a 2 in terms of his tenure of service for this year. I mean, he's going to either play his first year or second that they might bring back. I think that would be a possibility. I would aggressively pursue a cheap solution to this problem as opposed to an expensive one. They just spent $15 million on Derrick Henry, which we're going to talk about next. And that's already reduced a lot of their options for how they re-sign some of their players that are entering year 4.
Yes, yes. We'll get to that in just a moment. Just wrapping up on Ardarius, I think he could be brought back, as you noted here, on a prove-it deal for next year. I would like to keep him in the organization. He's had several injuries now. He's just a lighter, smaller guy. But if he can rebound, he could certainly have some, service to the team. So I would like to keep him around if they can.
Yeah, I would too. And if they brought him back, I'm sure it would be at the vet. I'm not 100% sure, but my guess it would be at the vet minimum and not attempting to sign him for 2 years or something. I think at this point, that's what you do. It's really a shame. And I can only say this is a cautionary tale for some of the other current guys who have gotten out of year 3. They're not into year 4. They haven't played yet. It doesn't even have to be an in-season injury. There's risk coming to camp. There's risk, in your training. If it's in your training away from the facility, you can actually get NFI'd for it. But when you're at the facility and you get hurt, it still impacts your future earnings. And, it makes all kinds of sense to look at the divisible benefit on the table and stop listening to your agent, which is the better choice to make.
Yeah. Yep. Take the money and run.
Yeah, there you go. And if Ardarius Washington signed a 3-year, $12 million deal, the Ravens would probably be paying him effectively about $8 million for 2027, which would be the remaining year on that deal. And I don't think that that would look particularly good right now from the Ravens' perspective.
Oh, sure. Yes. Anyway, let's move on to Derrick Henry, if you're ready.
Yep.
Two-year extension, signed through 2027. The deal makes him the third highest paid running back in the league in terms of APY, behind only Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, both dual threat running backs. Thoughts, or top line thoughts, if you could.
Sure. I think the Ravens are buying into the notion that he's the Nolan Ryan of running backs. I don't really have an issue with that. I'll leave it to them. I think one of the things I noted this morning was basically, when you have Derrick Henry and you have Lamar Jackson, the two players at your center of your offense, you know, are going to be very, very hardworking during the offseason. Lamar, every year he's come to camp with something new about his game that's made him more effective. The changes he made just between 23 and 24 in terms of distributing the football a lot better and making extended plays work at a higher level. I mean, it took the offense to yet another level. You think about what else could he do? And it wouldn't shock me if some year Lamar shows up and all of a sudden, not only can he extend plays, but all of a sudden he's the best on schedule thrower on the league. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if that all of a sudden happened.
Yeah.
In the case of Derrick Henry, you get the workout beast of running backs. And, you know, we see it all the time in videos and whatnot. And we saw last year that the Lamar Henry mesh point was really the most potent offensive weapon in the entire game.
Yes. Henry's a terrific player, no doubt about it. Probably on a Hall of Fame path at the moment. To your point about Nolan Ryan, he has accumulated to date 2,355 career carries at the NFL level, regular season. And he seems to be the outlier, the guy that does not drop off a cliff when he turns 30 years old. Personally, I'm against paying up at running back. I'm against paying old running backs. And I'm especially against paying running backs for a team that has Lamar Jackson, who has engineered a top three rushing attack every single season he's been with the Ravens, regardless of the running back, whether it was Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman or whoever. So I have mixed feelings on this one. Bottom line, they have now $25 million less. That was the guarantee on the contract, according to Brian McFarland, to put towards Travis Jones, Isaiah Likely, Tyler Linderbaum, et cetera. So I'm not thrilled with this one, to be honest with you. And Hamilton, sure.
Yeah.
And Zay Flowers.
It's a real question as to whether they're going to be able to sign Zay Flowers, obviously. You can toss Rashad Bateman there because he comes up a year earlier, almost certainly gone when that happens. But it is a legitimate question, I think, in terms of the usage of funds, whether or not it makes sense. But the combination is better than anything the Ravens have ever had at the position. I mean, the only thing that even compares is the brief taste they had of Keaton Mitchell in 23 when he was unbelievably good. But in terms of any kind of consistency for a period of time, and I'm happy. Gus Edwards was a fine running back, and I think all of his productivity with the Ravens needs to be considered in a reasonable light. But he's a significant step below Derrick Henry, and his 57.4% NFL career record success rate was exceeded by Henry in his first year. And the Henry Jackson, you made the point earlier, Jackson improves all running backs. Absolutely true. I've posted about that a number of times, but the previous 3 years, Henry had been a 46% success rate guy at Tennessee. He comes to Baltimore, he goes to 58.8%. Unbelievable career year, better than even his 2,000 yard season. I mean, he's at another level, and he's also at another level for the pairings with Jackson. So, I really have mixed feelings about it. There is $18 million, as I understand it, that would be an option that the Ravens could get out of in the final year. So I like that there's enough backloading in the contract to leave $18 million in the final year. So there's not some sort of dramatic, I don't want to play for $6 million remaining on my contract or something like there was with Myles Garrett.
Right.
You know, that's something that that the Ravens are clever and wise to avoid. And it could be, I guess it's possible then it's really a 1 year extension for $12 million, right? If they don't pay up for that final year. Yeah.
We haven't seen the final contract language yet. Mm-hmm. But that wouldn't be, that would be swallowable, digestible. So just in terms of general roster construction, the Ravens now have one of the three highest paid running backs and the highest paid inside linebacker. So from positional value standpoint and replaceable positions, I don't love that combination. Roquan Smith's going to cost $24 million against the cap this coming season. There's a couple ways to circumvent that sort of, whatever you want to call it, that type of roster construction. One way is to draft exceptionally well. Another way is to use void years. But, I do think I am now even more concerned about keeping the core of the young core together. You're not going to be able to keep them all, but are you now you're going to keep one or two versus three or four potentially?
Right. Let's talk about it's the big four. It's Linderbaum, Hamilton, Jones, and Likely that we're talking about are the four at the heart of the whole thing. Am I missing anybody? Because Ardarius was in the group.
Well, I mean, I think you could say Owe is potentially a piece of that pie. It starts getting the money starts getting short pretty quickly.
I think the ship may have sailed on Owe, given that he's already in that fifth year option year. So that transaction would need to be made very quickly. They may have it. They may be working on that right now. They may be working on that harder than they're working on other things. And a signing of Owe along with Mike Green, that's a great place to start.
Oh, yeah.
Your pass rush for a period of years, if you want to do it. Kyle Van Noy, I doubt there's you know, the way Kyle Van Noy comes back to playing for the Ravens is probably nothing we want for Kyle Van Noy in the 2025 season. Would be is a disappointing season, gets hurt, whatever it might be, and then he's looking for another shot, and the Ravens are like, yeah, well, sure, let's do it. Mm-hmm. But I think if Kyle Van Noy probably can make some money after this year if he goes out and shops again.
From a macro perspective, you need to be strong on the offensive line. Obviously, you obviously need to have a franchise quarterback. You need to be strong on the offensive line. You need to have some playmakers with the ball in their hands. And you need to have, in my opinion, pass defenders, pass rushers, and coverage players. Mm-hmm. So the more you invest high dollar into positions that don't necessarily directly.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano, or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
A healthy life starts with great sleep. Wake refreshed with Avocado's GOTS certified organic green mattress, delivering breathable, back-loving support, natural materials from Avocado's own sustainable wool and latex farms, easy financing, a one-year sleep trial, and deep, restorative slumbers. Organic sleep awaits at avocadomattress.com.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Help those areas, the tougher it is. But, if they are drafting positions, more positional value standpoint, then maybe they can overcome.
I think part of the argument for Henry is that he improves the play action game by so much just with what he does that you have a different kind of cat. And it has a gravity, it's a black hole like gravitational impact when Henry and Lamar come together at the mesh point. Decisions have to be made, assignments have to be changed. Everything happens to a defense right at that moment. They're ready for it. They know it's coming, and they still a lot of the times can't stop it. They have to get to another spot, and then if anything unusual happens from that point, be it a straight drop play action or anything else that's gonna create a ripple for them, they have a lot of trouble dealing with it. One of the great things is Lamar Jackson's really become very good at letting the other team run themselves out of position and then making a play on it.
Oh, for sure. So, just to put an optimistic bow on it, tremendous year last year. Let's hope Derek can continue, avoid the injury bug, and, nothing's more sweet than watching him break off an 80-yard touchdown run halfway through the fourth quarter of a game. So hopefully, he'll keep and we'll lead him to the trophy.
Would it be reasonable to say, would you agree that if Derrick Henry does not get injured in the next 3 years, that the Ravens are really going to be happy with this contract?
I think so. I mean, I don't see his play dropping off. As I mentioned earlier, you don't have to have a great skilled running back to be productive beside Lamar Jackson. So, that's the risk. You get older, you're a running back, you're, a little bit of a high cut guy. Knock on wood, but foot injury or something like that would be the concern for me.
Yeah, and obviously that would be a killer if something like that happened. All right, let's move on. Talk a little bit about one of the big deals yesterday, which is the schedule release. It was a pretty tough day, I'd say, for the AFC North as a whole in terms of the schedule. And when I talk about this, We knew exactly the 17 games every team was going to play in terms of what teams are going to play and where they were going to play. What mm-hmm. we've got now is all about the when. Okay, mm-hmm. It's how did the schedule makers arrange these games, organize them, and potentially screw the Ravens or screw the other divisional opponents in terms of how they wanted to play this game out for TV, basically.
Right.
Where should we start on this, Voss? What do you want?
Well, top line, I will say it's a tough early stretch for the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Their first six games includes five division winners, including a trip to Arrowhead on a short week. And that could really go a long way to determining AFC pecking order, the AFC playoff seeding. Mm-hmm. So I'll start there. Not thrilled by the early bye. What am I going to call it? Early bye, but week seven is earlier than it has been the last couple of years. But overall, I think it's a pretty good schedule for a first place team that was already predetermined to play certain common opponents.
Right. So it's a very fair schedule. It's a big positive as I score it, and we'll go through some of the reasons for that in a minute. But the one bugaboo I have about it, and the one thing that isn't good from the Ravens' perspective, is playing on a short week in Kansas City early in a game that has such significant implications in the AFC. Now, if the Ravens' schedule is so hard that they end up being an 11-5 team, an 11-6 team, or a 10-7 team, it's not going to matter. They won't be in the running for the number one seed. The teams, Buffalo and Kansas City, play in divisions of utter weakness in terms of being able to roll up some games. The Steelers are not who the Steelers were before. The Bengals may be very weak defensively and go through a troughing out in 2025 that isn't good. But I think that, generally speaking, I'd say the AFC North remains the strongest division in the AFC.
Yes.
And for that reason, everything is magnified in terms of the importance of for getting a one or a two seed, because the one seed is way up here. My hands are way up high. Mm-hmm. The two seed actually is very valuable. You're guaranteed a home game in the second set of games if you can beat the seven seed. That's what that is. That's Buffalo's path to the AFC championship game last year. That's the place at a minimum the Ravens kind of want to be. And it means you got to beat out two out of three of Houston, Buffalo, and Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And they play them all. And last year they beat two of the three of them, and they still could not do it. So
right. Well, they dropped that early game, week two, to the Raiders. That was really the killer. I'd like to avoid cold weather playoff games as much as possible. This team has not performed well. I don't know if it's because Lamar's from Florida. I don't know if it has something to do with Mark Andrews' diabetes condition. But you want to play at home. They've lost at home twice in the divisional round, but I still want home games for sure. The other note is the schedule is some kind of quirky as far as the home road swings.
Yeah.
The Ravens are home from the end of September and all the way until the end of October. Then they have three straight road games, and they also don't play Cincy or Pittsburgh until week 13, which is pretty odd considering that they have two matchups against them.
Yeah, they backloaded that part of the schedule. It's nice that they're not playing Pittsburgh at home in the final game. That's often a throwaway game. You want another season ticket holder perspective, I'll bring this up, is that you really don't want a big opponent at home in the finale. For one thing, the game is cold and you're more resistant to go into that game. Your friends are more resistant to go into that game. If you ever try to get rid of your tickets or just get somebody even to take them, even if you're not charging them for it, it's just like, come on. This is a chance to go to an NFL game here.
I've been in that situation. Couldn't give them away. Left them on a counter at Home Depot once.
So it's just absurd when that kind of thing happens. But anyway, you don't want to be put in that position if possible. It sometimes is nice to play at home. It's sometimes nice to play a good team in week 17 on the road, week 18 rather, because that is often a game that they might not need. And you get essentially a laydown out of that game, which is terrific if that can happen. But anyway, I think they finish at Green Bay and at Pittsburgh, which is one of the tougher weather doubles to finish the year. Not to, it might or might not be actually a competitive double that's hard, because we don't really know what Pittsburgh is going to be. I assume Green Bay will be pretty good. You know, they've got a lot of their roster still together. Pittsburgh, there's large questions looming around the quarterback position.
Yeah, for sure. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. I'm not super fearful of Pittsburgh this year, but they always give the Ravens a tough game. Couple other notes. There are four primetime games. Week one, Sunday Night Football, rematch against Buffalo to try to avenge that postseason defeat. At Miami on Thursday night, hosting Detroit. Week three on Monday night, which should be a pretty fun game. I think the Ravens match up relatively well against the Lions. And then maybe the most important game on the schedule, hosting Cincinnati on Thursday night on Thanksgiving. And home field advantage on Thursday night is the best advantage in the NFL.
Oh, and it's from all my schedule scoring, which we need to get into here, is something that would point to that being the biggest gift that the Ravens got. They got two big gifts in terms of the schedule scoring. But Cincinnati got a very attractive schedule as well. They're the other team in the division that did very well. And we kind of should go through some of that right now.
Sure.
I'll start with the international games, because both the Browns and the Steelers are playing a home game internationally, which is the biggest impaling the NFL can give an NFL team in terms of really reducing value. Nobody ever wants to do it, even if they have some thought of growing the market or playing in Ireland or, you know, whatever it might be. They really don't want to lose a home game to it. They'd love to play as the road team and then market themselves there under those circumstances. It's actually bad to play internationally at all in terms of what it does for your rest schedule. Even though the NFL gives you the option to take the bye the following week, all that means is you usually screw yourself with an early bye, because most international games are front loaded on the schedule. So the Ravens, the way my schedule scoring works is if you lose a home game, it's minus 10. So the Browns are minus 10. The Steelers got minus 10 for that, but because they took their bye immediately after, it's reduced to minus 8. But then there's another counter impact that their bye being in week 5 gave them another minus 4. So they didn't really win by that exchange, but they decided that was the right thing to take their bye then. But the Bengals and the Ravens both got plus 2. So in a relative sense, the Bengals and Ravens from this very first impact are out to an enormous lead in terms of relative scheduling, because that's the single most important factor, is not losing home games to crapola international stadiums. All right, let's talk about Thursday night, because that's the second thing. And we had two teams in the division are playing two Thursday night games. The Ravens are playing two Thursday night games. One of them's at Miami, and one of them's at home. First of all, if you play two Thursday night games, you always get one home, one road. So it's an advantage to play on Thursday night because of the half bye you get afterwards. But it's a big disadvantage to play on the road on Thursday night, because you get a day less on that week itself. So the Ravens, in total, they get a plus 3 because they got an extra Thursday game, and then also because they're at home for a Thursday game. And the big thing was it's in the division against probably their biggest divisional rival this year. I would think as we look at it right now.
I agree. I definitely agree with that sentiment. So the other one, the one for me that you noted here that's a big benefit, is they don't play any teams that are coming off a bye.
Yeah.
And I believe this is the second year in a row. I think we did this show last year, and we had the same exact notation. And you think about it, you say, wow, you know, all kind of algorithms. How do you allow that advantage to go to the Ravens? But I'll take it all day.
Yeah, well, we'll take it all day, that's for sure. And, there's other things, like the Ravens aren't traveling a lot of miles that we already knew. We already knew how many miles they travel.
Third fewest miles traveled in the league.
Getting back to the opening bye, there is no excuse for the NFL not figuring it out. I mean, there's just no excuse. All you have to do is have divisional games played after your only bye of the year, and you can have two divisional teams off the previous week. And it does not take a set theory wizard to figure out that this is a very, very easy thing to figure out. And for some reason, the NFL has chosen to turn their back on that, on the notion.
It's all about the ratings.
Maybe they want it as an ancillary evener, but there's just, I mean, you know, with with the scores in the division ranking from the Ravens at plus six to the Steelers minus 21, I could just tell you that's a range of 27. That's the equivalent of four additional teams played coming off a bye. So they don't have a lot of interest in making the schedule equivalent. So
yeah, I think they played two teams coming off a bye either 3 or 4 years ago. So maybe it all comes out in the wash eventually.
Three teams in 2000 coming off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they've had their difficulties with it, certainly. And, you know, when they've done it two teams, I scream bloody murder. When they play a divisional Thursday game, I scream bloody murder. Cause I think mm-hmm. that really, it has a greater impact than the plus three and minus three for that week only. It impacts the divisional race to such a degree to have, you know, one of the two games highly differentiated in terms of win probability that,
sure,
you know, that is another, by the way, if the NFL really wants to do it right, they probably get rid of divisional Thursday games. You just have to say, okay, all Thursday games are going to be interconference games. And you got enough of them. You could play all your game 17s be your Thursday slate. You could do that.
It just seems that the Thursday night games, when it's interconference, or they just seem to be blowouts one way or another. And I think they try to put divisional games to produce a better product when you have the whole country watching.
Well, I mean, I understand from a ratings perspective why they wanted it. From a fairness perspective, it's exactly the wrong thing to do to create these games. But happy to be spending Thanksgiving. The Ravens, you have as many of my future Thanksgivings or Christmases, if they happen to fall on either a Wednesday or Thursday, as you need. I'll be there mm-hmm. every time in terms of home games.
That San Fran victory on Thanksgiving with the pit of late touchdowns, one of my top five favorite games I've ever been to at M&T.
That was a fun one. Then they had the Thanksgiving win over the Steelers, where Tomlin stepped in the way of Jacoby.
Jacoby, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, this will be the third time playing at home on Thanksgiving, which is great. Harbaugh has mentioned that he wants it to be a regular thing, and every coach, every owner should be raising their hand for exactly that thing. It's silly they didn't. Somehow the Lions and the Cowboys are grandfathered into this. I was going to say godfathered into this, which is probably more like what it is. But all right. So a couple other things. The Ravens play the Monday Night Football disadvantages are minor. They play two Monday Night games, which is bad. But they have a home game after one of them. So it's a small difference. The Browns playing no opponent. Browns didn't play any Monday night games. That's what it is. So they got a plus two in that area. One of the few areas where they really got a benefit. Opposing Monday Night Football teams is an area where you can win. The Ravens don't have anybody coming off Monday Night Football. So that's bad. They got a minus two in that area. The Browns are playing two teams. Actually, I think it's three teams coming off Monday night, and they got a plus four in the area. So, and then let's see the bye week. The average bye week was week nine. So going across, the Ravens have their bye in week seven. So they got a minus two in that area. The Browns are in week nine. So they got a zero. The Steelers are in week five after their European trips. They got a minus four, and the Bengals are in week 10. So they get the best bye week in my opinion in the division. They get a plus one. And then there's a closing bye.
It's always better. If you're a playoff team, it's always beneficial to have a late bye. I know some people are trying to shine up week seven, a lot of time to make adjustments. No. Give me the late bye as much as you can always.
Yeah, even in terms of getting healthy for the playoffs, it may matter if you can get a week 13 bye or something. So
definitely.
Yeah. And there are four teams have a week 14 bye this year. So that's fairly strange. So anyway, when it comes all down, without a subjective adjustment, the Ravens are at plus four and the Bengals are at plus seven. But I would put a significant subjective adjustment on this. I allow up to five, but I just put a plus two for the Ravens and a minus two for the Bengals. And it ends up being a 6-5 within the division. An average schedule is minus one this year based on the incremental number of international games. So that reduced aggregate scoring across the league. I think about that correctly. Yes, that's correct. You know, the average score in this division is about minus five. So the AFC North didn't do particularly well in terms of scheduling, but it's really all the Browns and Steelers that took the brunt of that.
Yes. No question. So week 6, 17, and 18 are both flex time TBD. Could be a Saturday night game. Could be how would that impact the scoring if the Ravens – what would be most beneficial or least from their system?
Okay, so if they played a Saturday week 17 game, that could help them for week 18. And even with it being on the road, I would have no downgrade for that. So it would be an upgrade for by a point for playing, probably, yeah, 1 point for playing with one additional day of rest. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that would factor into this, but that they've been screwed with that Saturday road game before. If you remember a few years ago in 2018 in Lamar's first year where they're desperately struggling to make the playoffs, they had to go out to bullshit Chargers Stocker Stadium. And play on Saturday, you know, travel across the country. And then the Chargers had to come to Baltimore for the playoffs. It's perfect time to screw them right back. Give them a Saturday 1 p.m. game in Baltimore for the first round of the playoffs, and the league wouldn't do it to them.
So. That was the Mark Andrews breakout game with the long 70-yard touchdown or so.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the Ravens are a good team. They're going to play good teams. They're going to play good teams in regular season. They're going to play good teams in the playoffs. So, you know, I think they have one of the best rosters in the league, perhaps the best roster in the AFC. If they can make a couple more additions, maybe a safety or maybe one more pass rusher. But they are primed to, in my view, to win the AFC North for the third straight year. And according to Ryan Mink, no AFC North team has ever won it 3 years straight. So
that's a good goal. Since 2002. Yep. Now, I didn't know that. I'll have to look that. I'm sure he's right because you know, it's easy enough to check. But that's impressive.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Let's see. Anything else we need to talk about with regard to this? I think we're solid on this. So Voss, I appreciate you being back on the show this week. I know you're not going to be able to do it every week because of your responsibilities. Quick plug for the restaurant.
Sure. We opened a new restaurant in Pittsburgh, Maryland called Fiammata Italian Restaurant and Lounge. We are at 2900 Baltimore Boulevard, and we have been humbled by the support, and everybody loves the food. So that's the most important thing about a restaurant. And I actually had a couple listeners of this podcast come in and eat and say hello. So I really appreciate that.
Right. So do you got names and Twitter handles on those people?
And I'm really bad with names. I'm sorry. I meet about 1,000 people a week there. So I'm not great with names, but appreciate it, and I encourage everybody to come check it out when you have a chance.
All right. Outstanding. Other folks out there, it's film study short season. Hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll mix those in with the expectation series, which is going to be continuing for most of the time until camp begins. I'll have some reports, I hope, from other off-season training activities, assuming they come through with credentials for me. And if that's the case, then that'll be one of the breakups to this run of expectations, along with the Friday morning GM show. So for Vasily Ricos, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next week on Friday morning GM.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online.
Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.